Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know how many of you are bilingual. You know two languages or three languages. I only know one. My mother was bilingual. She was raised in an Italian household, and she learned Italian first and then English. You would never know it. She had a perfect command of the English language. She read and wrote in English. She could not read and write in Italian. But she told me that all her dreams were in her native tongue, even when she was in her old age and had not heard much of her own language except with her siblings for years. When she dreamed, it was in Italian. I one time had the privilege of having a guest speaker at my last church who was from Tanzania. He had come with a group of preachers, and they were going out throughout Maryland and Pennsylvania preaching. And of course, his native tongue was Swahili, but he had a good grasp of the English language. And so when he came, we conversed, and he stayed overnight in my home, and we had a lovely time. But then you could see the problem on Sunday morning. Because the poor man, being conversant in Swahili and not so much in English, he had a script, a very carefully worded sermon, but it came across with this very thick accent. And so I could hear I could see the people straining to listen, and everything he read was not bad, but it was very stilted because it was not conversational. And after church, he was standing in the back with me, and he was greeting people. And of course, congregations are known to be polite. No one said, you know, I understood every three words. No one said that. They were very kind. And they were all wishing him well as he had to travel back to Tanzania. And then one woman who I did not recognize came up to him and said a few words. And all of a sudden, this man came alive because she spoke Swahili fluently. She was from the neighboring nation of Kenya, and they struck up a conversation, and I saw this man very differently than for the 2 days I had seen him. Oh, he was conversing. It was like the language was a homing beacon, and she was able to draw him out, and they chatted all through fellowship time. They were having a grand time talking, still didn't know who this woman was. And then when he came home to my house, he gave me a piece of paper and said, we have to go here today. Now, I was slated to take him to Pennsylvania, but he gave me this address, and it didn't look familiar, and he said, I have to go here today. Well, he's my guest, so I brought him there. Happened to be to this woman's house. She had suitcase after suitcase filled with clothing and other goods that she was collecting for Kenya, and she said to him, I want you to have this and bring this home to your people. What a joy he had. And when he got together with his fellow Tanzanians, the church that he was preaching at, my church, was probably the smallest. It wasn't as fancy as some of these other churches that the other folks got to go to, but he was strutting. And I could see the look of envy. Even though I didn't understand the language, I could see the looks when he was explaining what happened to him. And what was so interesting was that that lady was a stranger to our church. She didn't know there was going to be a Tanzanian there that day. She was new to the neighborhood and wanted to find a church home. She and her family became members of my church after that. Language is so important. And understanding the language of someone else, not just the words, but the inflection, the meaning, what's behind them. And I think of this marvelous day of Pentecost. And I was kind to our lay reader this morning.
Thank you.
Because usually when we read that book that chapter in Acts, they talk about the native languages and they actually read them. Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. You notice I left all of that out. But these were people who were bilingual. The language of their native home had been subsumed under the language of the places that they lived. And when they came to Jerusalem, they understood the language, for when Peter got up to speak, they didn't say, "We need translation." They understood what he was talking about. But when they heard these languages from their homes, maybe language they hadn't heard in years, it was like a homing beacon. And they were drawn to that. And what did they hear but the mighty works of God? And I think when we preach on Pentecost, so often we talk about the experience of Pentecost. We talk about the power given to the people. But really what we need to talk about is not the experience of those disciples and the power given to them. It's what it did for those people who gathered. It was a homing beacon because they heard their language. And then Peter got up and said, "You see what happened to us? It's for everybody. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." In other words, God is for you. Those who are outside, those who might not employ the same language, those who feel lost in this world, the Spirit of God said, "I'm pulling you all in." It's a homing beacon. And that is the challenge of the Christian church, is to be that homing beacon. It is not to live a life that says, "Well, I have my beliefs and you have yours, and everybody's great," but to say, "I know somebody, and there's a divine inclusion, and I want to learn how to speak your language so that I can tell you about the fact that God is for you." When Logan and I talk, we sometimes have the same language, and other times I have to ask for an explanation because there is an age gap. But I hope Logan has understood that God is for you. And I notice how he treats his siblings and how he treats the people in this church and the people that he meets in school. And his life is saying, "God is for you." What a challenge we have, and what an opportunity we have. So this day, I ask that when you leave these precincts, not to ask for an experience, but to be the homing beacon, so that others might know, God is not only for me, God is for them. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord our God will be saved. Are you a homing beacon in the streets? Are you a homing beacon when you go to the restaurants? Or are you a homing beacon when you're in your family? Are you a homing beacon at school and at the office? Let us be homing beacons for Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that all those people that came that day that felt displaced, who had not heard their own language, language might have been confined to their dreams for many years, found the homing beacon of the Holy Spirit, and lives were changed that day. And so help us, O Lord, filled with your Spirit, to be homing beacons for those who are lost and alone. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.